It is hard to compare the two, but Tuesday's terrorist attack in New York was the deadliest in the city since 9/11.
8 people died and a dozen badly injured when an attacker barreled a truck down a busy bike lane. The suspect, Saifullo Saipov, is now facing federal terrorism charges. Prosecutors say he appears to have been inspired by violent ISIS videos. Now, Saipov emigrated to the U.S. from Uzbekistan, and in the last few days, a lot of media attention has been focused on that country, with headlines like, "Why does Uzbekistan export so many terrorists?" Experts who study the region, who know the region, find some of that narrative troubling. And since we here at The World try to clarify things around the globe when they get muddy, let me bring in Edward Lemon. He's with the Harriman Institute at Columbia University. So what has the media gotten wrong about Uzbekistan since the attack?
Well, I think it's fair to say that counter-extremism in Uzbekistan has been used as an excuse by the government to crack down on all manner of opposition voices and pious Muslims within the country. So certainly it is a bastion of torture. It is a bastion of repression. And I think shedding light on that, as a number of these opinion pieces that have appeared since the attack have done so, I think that is important. And this is an important reality of what is one of the most authoritarian countries in the world. However, I think framing it as an exporter of terrorists or terrorism is misleading.
Yesterday, there was actually an official statement from the government of Uzbekistan stating that after moving to the USA, Saifullo Saipov became introverted, fell under the influence of radical groups. They do say that the head of their country is ready to bring support into the investigation. But, I mean, essentially, that line there, they were disowning him in any connection to radicalization in Uzbekistan. What is your sense of how much radicalization and recruitment happens inside Uzbekistan and in Central Asia more generally?
There is a degree of radicalization and recruitment happening in Central Asia, but the vast majority is outside. You know, individuals who've left their community at home, they've gone into a new environment, they perhaps don't have, they feel marginalized, they don't fit in. I think if we look at Saipov, he came to America, won the green card lottery, and wanted to build a new life here, and you know, he struggled to really find his place in society.
You're saying Saipov was mostly radicalized here in the U.S. Are you basing that on what you know about his story so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Uzbek journalists who've now gone and spoken to his family members and neighbors in Tashkent say that he was from what they describe as a secular family, which is not untypical in post-Soviet Central Asia. They all describe him as being a friendly individual, wasn't particularly interested in religion. But then when we look at the testimonies from his friends since moving to the United States, he never really found his place in society. He was at times aggressive, swearing. The imam at the mosque in Florida, which he attended, said he was late for prayer. He wasn't particularly knowledgeable about Islam. So, you know, seemingly the process by which he's come under the influence of these radical views has happened since moving to America.
And just turning back to Uzbekistan, like terrorist acts there, are they widespread in Uzbekistan and in Central Asia?
No, I mean, I think, you know, although the narrative is that it's a hotbed of extremism and terrorism, we see very few terrorist attacks within the region, certainly when compared to Afghanistan and Pakistan and the Middle East. In fact, many of the instances of terrorism that have occurred in the last 10 years in Central Asia, although they've often been linked by the government to Islamic extremism, these instances are more related to organized crime and sort of local politics and corruption.
So why does Uzbekistan export so many terrorists? That headline I mentioned earlier, how Uzbekistan became a hotbed for violent extremism and radicalism. We've seen these headlines since Tuesday's attack. What is a question you think we should be asking?
I think it's important for us to understand what's happening to Central Asians in these transnational spaces, in these instances after they leave Central Asia. What is there something about the political situation in Central Asia that makes these individuals more susceptible to recruitment by radical groups? And what's specifically happening to them that makes them vulnerable when they've actually left? Given that Islam is so tightly controlled and the narrative around Islam in Uzbekistan is so tightly controlled, generally the level of Islamic awareness for many individuals is quite limited. And when they emigrate, move to a more open environment, many of them rediscover religion as a sort of way of coping with being a migrant. And a very small minority of those individuals gravitate towards a more extreme form of Islam.
Edward Lemon with the Harriman Institute at Columbia University. Thank you.
Thank you.